Now, here's the Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston.
And good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston, or you could be listening on WROLradio.com or even Sunday night on WBIX AM 1260, the Business Buzz. Well, I was looking in automotive news this week, and there was an article about how hydrogen could transform Japan beyond the auto market, and it talked about the hydrogen horizon, and there was a study out recently that hydrogen has helped California greenhouse gases get cut by more than 2.3 million pounds. And with us on the phone is Dr. Shane Stevens. He's a chief development officer and principal at First Element Fuel, to talk a little bit about the hydrogen economy. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning there. How are you?
Good. How are you? So hydrogen, fuel of the future? Fuel, is it here today? What's the deal with hydrogen?
I think hydrogen has huge potential to replace gasoline as the principal transportation fuel for our cars and bigger vehicles like buses and trucks. We're, of course, just kind of beginning this future. We've had cars commercialized here in California and other parts of the world for just a little bit over a year. Toyota is really the first company to come to market with a fuel cell car. And what my company is doing is we're opening the network of hydrogen fueling stations so that customers can go and buy retail hydrogen today here in California.
And that's sort of the real problem, because I was, this was a couple of years ago, and I was in a Honda Accord that happened to have a navigation system, and I was sitting there a little bit bored, and I was looking at places of interest, and the engineer who designed the navigation system, one of the points of interest was hydrogen fueling stations. So I hit the button, and the nearest one was about 400 miles away from where I was. So not particularly practical for that reason, but this morning I just posted a picture on Facebook. I was driving by a restaurant that's under construction, and one of the things they're constructing is an electric charging station. So just like electric charging stations, we're starting to see these hydrogen fueling stations start to pop up, right?
That's correct, and I'm proud to say that here in the state of California, my company has opened up the first 17 retail hydrogen stations. That's part of a slightly bigger network of about 28 hydrogen stations in California. So we have the majority of the stations here. But if I buy a car here today, I can now get from San Diego, where we have one of our stations, up through Los Angeles, actually up through the San Joaquin Valley, connecting up to San Francisco, and even out to Lake Tahoe, and I can do that just with a credit card. So, you know, as I said, we're kind of just at the dawn of this, but we've laid the groundwork for phase one of a hydrogen fueling network here in California.
And for people that have never driven a hydrogen car, and I've driven a couple now, I guess, and I guess the last one was the last generation Honda Clarity. They're pretty phenomenal vehicles. They perform like electric cars. They're quiet. They don't make a whole heck of a lot of noise. I think they have to make them make noise, just so you know they're there. But their performance is pretty good, and the range even on that was pretty good. And I was at one of the General Motors labs over the winter, and I was looking at their fuel stack that operates their electric vehicle, and it went from one probably the size of a 4x4 box to something that was a couple of shoeboxes put together. The technology shrinking down, where it's going to become more practical, and companies like yours, True Zero, and setting up this hydrogen network, it is a little chicken and the egg, but you know, the technology is certainly there, and on your side, getting the infrastructure in place is going to make it all work.
Yeah, these are fantastic cars. I actually drive the new generation of the Honda Clarity on a daily basis now.
Sure.
I love it. You're right about the way it drives. It's very smooth, very quiet. You know, fuel cell technology is really a leap beyond what we're used to today. So it's a little different to explain, right? This is an electric drive car. But usually with electric, we're thinking you have to plug it in and you have to charge it. Well, with a fuel cell car, you're actually making your electricity right on board with a very quiet, highly efficient device called a fuel cell, and you're doing that with hydrogen. And what that means is that the only emission is water, so it's a zero-emission vehicle. You said it correctly about the fueling stations. It is a little bit chicken and the egg, but the good news is that the fueling station technology is there as well. I can pull up to a number of our fueling stations here in California, and I can fill up in actually about 4 minutes with a credit card and then be on my way. And my car gets me, my Honda Clarity gets me about 320 miles on a single tank. So the EPA rated range, I think, is 366 miles, but I maybe am a little heavy on the gas, so I usually don't get quite that. I get about 315 or 320. And I'm doing it all on zero emissions. You alluded to our brand name, True Zero. That's how we've branded our hydrogen fueling stations. And that's really to speak to the benefit of the technology, which is, we're using zero oil, we have zero pollution emissions, and we're driving towards zero carbon. There's still a little bit of carbon in our production cycle. It's about half of what you see with a gasoline car, but there's a little bit of carbon, but we have pathways to get all the carbon out, so we'll be zero carbon in the near future as well.
Now, you know, my chemistry background ended in the eighth grade, I think, and I know hydrogen is half of water, but where do we get hydrogen from?
Well, in California, there's actually a requirement that 33%, so one-third, of all of our hydrogen has to come from renewable sources. So we get a third of it from renewable sources. The other two-thirds comes from a pretty traditional method called steam reforming of natural gas. So essentially, you take steam, which is water, which has hydrogen in it, and you take natural gas, which is mostly methane, which has hydrogen in it, and you strip some of that hydrogen off the water, and you strip some of that hydrogen off the methane. So, you know, that's a pretty good technology. It's highly efficient to do that process. It's highly clean. It reduces your carbon by about half compared to gasoline, and natural gas is domestically sourced. What people like to say is, well, in the future, we need to get all the fossil fuels out, and we're working on that. So while we are one-third renewable today, we hope to be 100% renewable, over the next 5 years.
How much does the equivalent of a gallon of hydrogen cost? I mean, we know out here in Boston, a gallon of gasoline is $2.50. In California, it's about $3. How much is the equivalent of a gallon of hydrogen?
Well, that's kind of a trick. Right now, our hydrogen is probably costing 30 to 40% more than gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit of a challenge. But the good news is that the raw hydrogen, so to make the hydrogen from that steam methane reforming or from a renewable source, is actually very low cost. It's about a third the cost of a gallon of gasoline. What's expensive right now is that we're putting into place new delivery systems. The retail hydrogen stations themselves, all this stuff is a little bit expensive because it's early stage, and frankly, it's underutilized, right? I mean, today we're about a year and a half into the retail car market in California, and you have to get the stations out there before you can start selling cars, right? So all of our stations are a little underutilized right now. So I think in the next 3 years, we would expect hydrogen to be about equivalent to gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, if you look at the 5 to 10 year horizon, we can hope to get the cost of hydrogen to about half that of a gallon of gasoline.
And I guess, my dream is that hydrogen will be one of the fuels. And I always look at the turn of the last century where you could kind of buy a car that, ran on diesel, it ran on steam, it ran on gasoline, it ran on batteries, it ran on, I don't know, cow manure, whatever cars ran on in the 1900s. And today that when you go to buy a car, and whether it's, a Honda Clarity or, maybe the future is a Honda Accord, you'll check off a box and say, oh, I want a gasoline electric hybrid, I want a pure EV, I want a hydrogen car. I want to have that choice of being able to pick my powertrain depending on what best suits me. The one thing I'm concerned about, and Honda was a great example of it, they came out with a compressed natural gas Civic, wasn't a bad car. There's a little bit of an infrastructure, especially here in the Northeast. But every time I go by a hydrogen station, there's cobwebs. There's not a whole lot going on. So that's always my fear, is they'll build an infrastructure and then the cars won't be there to support it. But I think with the range and performance of hydrogen, it looks like a winner.
Well, I would certainly agree. And, you know, what I would also say is that we're seeing a future of electrification of the drivetrain occur.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with the hybridization, where you still have some gasoline on the car, but you have a hybrid engine, and then you have a plug-in hybrid, and you have a pure plug-in battery, and then you have the hydrogen fuel cell. And this all represents different stages and different forms of electrifying the drivetrain. Now, what we're fans of is really anything that's zero emission.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it. You know, we need, I think, multiple zero emission options that fit the different consumer needs. You know, you have, you know, some people try to make it a battle between hydrogen and battery electric. Elon Musk is the most famous for it. And I think, frankly, he's very disingenuous because while batteries are great, and I'm a fan of batteries, I think that they don't fulfill every consumer need, and having another zero-emission option out there, like hydrogen, you know, which can fill quickly, which gets a little longer range, which frankly performs better in cold weather. You know, you're in Massachusetts, so you know in the winter, battery performance really suffers. You know, I think we have to be looking at all zero-emission options, and the more the better. So I think you're right. I think we're going to evolve to electrification, and I think hydrogen is going to be one of the choices out there, and in my opinion, one of the best performing choices.
Yeah, and what a lot of people don't realize, and we did this with testing with my day job as I work at AAA, and our auto club folks out in California also put a Tesla inside a heated test lab and found out, oh, wait, batteries degrade in the heat just like they do in the cold, and range suffers as well. So you have that going for it. Do you ever see a point where, you know, you mentioned Elon Musk, and now he's, you know, looking at these kind of battery storage, electric storage devices for homes. Do you ever see a point where homes will run on hydrogen and create an electric home because of that?
Yeah, that's very much a possibility. And you have actually a couple of big companies that are working on home solutions that you could make hydrogen right in your garage, and it could do a couple of different things. And people are doing it both from electricity, where you'd have your solar panels making hydrogen to fill your car and as a way to store energy, and then also to do it from natural gas. You know, people like to point to the fact that, solar panels can charge my car, but the truth is that most of us are not nocturnal, right? So we're out driving around in the day, where your solar panels can't charge your car. So so to produce hydrogen, you know, while the sun is shining, where you can store the hydrogen and then fill your car whenever it's convenient, is one of the ways to do it. So, you know, I think all these technologies have a lot of potential, and, I mean, to be frank, there's some challenges to overcome, and, we're competing against gasoline, right, which, there's been an evolution of 100 years of the internal combustion engine in gasoline to get it really convenient and really high performance. So I think there's going to be challenges, but we have some great technologies on the horizon, and hydrogen, I think, just has huge potential. So, you know, for us, our enemy is oil, right? We see oil as the thing that needs to get displaced, and whether we do it with batteries or with hydrogen, and I think it has to be both, I think it's a great thing if we're getting gasoline-burning cars off the road.
And going back to my eighth grade science class, we know that you know, we live on oxygen, and trees and plants produce it. And by using hydrogen, I read somewhere that by cutting this 2.3 million pounds of carbon, it's the equivalent of what, planting forests 9 times the size of Disneyland or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. As you know, a forest will consume CO2 over its lifetime. And I'm proud to say that actually the newest number is we're up to close to 5 million pounds of CO2, and that's the equivalent of about a forest about 17 times the size of Disneyland. So this market is rapidly expanding in California. I think we're seeing people drive as much or even a little bit more than we expected on their fuel cell cars, and we're seeing demand come a little faster than we expected.
So I don't have to keep going out and planting those dogwood trees to try to make the air clean?
You should keep doing that, too, but you should also get a fuel cell car as soon as they're available out there in Massachusetts.
Yeah, it sounds like the right idea. And I really see this for, as much as for personal transportation, I really see this for municipalities, buses, post office vehicles that are constantly, buzzing around, they're start, stop. It seems like the perfect vehicle for that. And it also seems like something the government should be embracing, because for the same sort of idea that, those vehicles get driven all day and go back to a garage at night. And, it seems like the perfect solution all the way around.
Yeah, you see already a lot of uses in the bus sector. I know that the Bay Area Transit Authority and then the Sunline Transit out in Palm Springs here in California, they have a fleet of fuel cell buses. You mentioned Japan and their goals for a hydrogen society. They have several buses in use as well, and I think for the 2020 Olympics, Japan is planning on really trying to make it a hydrogen-powered Olympics with things like buses and other modes of transportation. The other exciting news that I believe happened last week is that Toyota announced a Class A truck that would be fuel cell-powered, and they have a prototype, and they did a little video where that truck actually outperformed a diesel truck off the mark in terms of acceleration.
Yeah.
So I think this is one of the other big advantages with hydrogen and fuel cells, is it has the ability to scale. It can go into larger passenger vehicles like SUVs, and I think GM has announced their plans for a Chevy Colorado that's fuel cell powered, and it can go all the way up into buses and now Class A trucks.
No, it's really interesting technology. And again, I think the idea where the consumer can have a choice of depending on what works for them is good. And I think the idea of, zero emissions is fantastic. And the idea that eventually the world is going to run out of oil. Let's face it. I mean, I remember 15 years ago sitting in a seminar talking about peak oil and how we were there, how we're going to run out. And then we found out we could get it from shale and we could get it from oil sands, and so what we've run out of is cheap oil, but we've still managed to find oil. But now if we look at this hydrogen infrastructure and getting it situated and getting it ready and getting vehicles that are acceptable, like you said, like the Clarity, like the Toyota products that are coming out, the GM products, if everybody starts to work together and make some options available and make them available for the consumer as well as on that commercial level, I don't know. It seems like we should see gas stations that sell gas and diesel. Maybe they have a EV charging port, and right next to it, a hydrogen fill-up pump at the same time. I don't know. To me, it looks like it could all work.
Yeah, I think that would be a fantastic model. We actually install our True Zero hydrogen stations at existing gas stations, so it's sort of an add-on. Either sticking out from the existing island or off to the side somewhere on the property. And we like that model because people are used to going there to get fuel already. You have the convenience store. I think that's right. I think as we evolve, we're going to see these options come online. And, we were talking earlier that there are challenges to new technologies. And so I think we better be ready when we hit that peak oil. We don't want to hit that peak oil and then all of a sudden wake up and realize we have to do something. These technologies provide great options, and hydrogen and fuel cells, I think in certain parts of the world, and California being one of them, this chicken and egg argument is kind of coming off the table. We have the backbone of stations. You can't buy a car anywhere in California, but in most of the major urban areas, you can buy a car and have a hydrogen station fairly close to you.
No, it sounds great. And the idea, and I love what you said about refueling, 4 minutes to refuel. So about what it would refuel for a CNG car, about what it would refuel for a regular gasoline car, unlike even, fast charge with a Tesla or a Kia Soul or something that has the level 3 charger that could be 20 minutes to a half an hour. So I like the convenience aspect of it. I think that's one of the holdbacks on a straight EV. All of it seems to work, and I know it's going to come up, so I'm going to ask you. A lot of people have concerns about hydrogen safety. I have a concern about driving around with 20 gallons of gasoline, but what's the issues? Any issues with hydrogen safety?
Well, you know, of course there are safety issues. Just as you mentioned, there are with gasoline, and just like there are with plug-in battery vehicles. You know, one of the things about driving around on a bunch of energy is that that energy, you know, can be explosive. It can electrocute people, right? You mm-hmm. do have to treat things safely. I think, you know, the good thing is that we've learned how to do that with many types of energy technologies over the year. You know, hydrogen, I think, in many ways is safer than gasoline. Hydrogen is actually the lightest substance on Earth. So if you have a leak of it, it actually travels upwards at 22 miles an hour. So unlike gasoline or diesel, which tends to pool, it can stick on things, hydrogen goes straight up. You know, we do store hydrogen under pressure in cars, so that's another safety mm-hmm. element that we have to be aware of. And I have to say that I'm really impressed with the evolution of the tank design for hydrogen vehicles. The tank designs usually have some kind of bladder on the inside to not allow the molecule to escape through it, but then it's reinforced with a carbon polymer fiber wrap. And they shoot armor-piercing bullets at these things, and you can't get through it. It's also designed so that in the case that there is some kind of a breach or accident, there's a pressure relief valve that will go off. And then in the worst-case scenario, right, these carbon polymer fiber wraps, they don't explode like shrapnel, right? It mm-hmm. would unzip if the tank itself actually fails. So there's really multiple layers of safety built into these tanks. And then just the fundamental properties of hydrogen itself, I think, is safer to work with than gasoline in most any way you look at it.
You mean better than that eighth of an inch of plastic that's holding 16 gallons of gas under my car?
That's right. You said it. I mean, people do this without thinking about it, right? We'll park our gasoline car with its gasoline tank in our garage right next to a boiler, right, which is burning natural gas. And, you know, we've gotten comfortable with that over the years. But we've also designed around it. And I think similarly, you know, we've designed around hydrogen cars for that. And I feel just as comfortable in a hydrogen car. I've got two lovely daughters. They're both less than 2 years old, and I put them in the infant car seats in the back seat of the hydrogen car, and I drive around very comfortably. I refuel the car with them in the back. So now you can talk technical safety all day long, but at the end of the day, I think it's the personal comfort, right, is the yep. part that really tells the story.
No, you're absolutely right. If people want more information about First Element Fuel or True Zero, is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, there sure is. TrueZero.com is our website.
Perfect. Hey, I want to thank you for getting up at, 5:30 in the morning your time?
This is a little early here on the Pacific Coast.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Dr. Shane Stevens, Chief Development Officer and Principal at First Element Fuel for True Zero. It sounds like a great concept. Go back to bed.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Dr. Shane Stevens. He is the Chief Development Officer and a principal at First Element Fuel, where he is, among other things, in charge of investments, business development, government policy issues, and overall growth of the company. I like the idea of hydrogen. I like the idea of change in things. To me, I don't know. All seems interesting to me, and I think the more choices we have, the better it is. Before we take a break, why don't we go to our buddy Tom. Tom, good morning.
Hey, John, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay, I called you the past couple of weeks about my battery problem with the Honda.
Yep.
2013.
You getting anywhere?
You got
to fill it with hydrogen?
You know, I actually like hydrogen. I've been waiting for that, you know, for a long time, but mm-hmm. it's not here yet. So I'm not going electric. I want hydrogen.
Okay, first, there we go.
Okay. All right. We talked about my battery going dead, parasitic, and all that. Okay, so what I did is called AAA when they had them come out and they did their quick shot, yep. the battery was dead. Mm-hmm. He checked it all out, and he said, it's just the battery's weak.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is chronic with the Hondas, from 2013 to 2015 or 16. He said, I see it all the time. He knew right away.
Okay.
And if I remember, I mentioned to you, the battery is like half size. It's only 5 inches wide. It's completely undersized.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see there's plenty of room for a larger battery. But anyway, so he said that, so I said, well, I'm going to bring it up to the dealer,
mm-hmm.
get the transmission change, the fluid
yep.
change,
mm-hmm.
and have him look at it. But anyways, so I did a lot of research online. It's all over the web. these batteries are just no good. Chronic problems. They won't own up to it. You know, they just will not own it. They all tell you the same thing. So basically what he told me, he says, you really have to drive your car every day. You don't drive enough. You can't drive it every other day, or you can't go away and let it sit for 5 days with a good battery.
That is such nonsense.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm furious. I mean, here's the Honda car. And this is all over the web. This is what they everybody that has these, you know, problems. So I'm on my third battery on a 2013, 22,000 miles. For the first 3 years, we drove it every day. This is the only year we're not, you know, driving it as much. So, you know, then they checked it out. There's no parasitic drain, just the battery. Mm-hmm. You don't drive it enough. I did voltmeter test on it. It's constantly losing overnight, you know, constantly drawing down. But anyway, so they're like, well, it's not under warranty. You have to pay $150 to get a new battery. So I just said, you know, the heck with it. I said, no, I wouldn't put another one of them junk batteries in there.
Mm.
So I took it home, did some research, and I put the largest battery in there I could find for $100.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it from a 450 to 500 cranking amp.
Mm-hmm.
I got 750. The original battery only has an 80 reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm up to about 150, 40 or whatever.
Okay, okay. So at least, even if there is, whatever the amount of, you know, what I still find amazing is, you know, the typical parasitic draw is somewhere between, you know, half a milliamp, something like that. So, you know, 0.5 to 0.7, maybe something like that.
Right.
And you know, that even with an 80 amp hour reserve, I mean, that's it, you know, usually tested at, I don't know, it's 100 amps
right.
or something. You know, so even at that, you know, that battery should last a month. You know, the idea that it's only lasting a couple days, and that's exactly the same thing we're hearing with people with Subarus. The Subaru with all the electronics in it, the EyeSight system and all of that, I bet I get an email once a week from someplace all around the country. It can be from, I think the only place I haven't heard from is Hawaii, but it's been, I've got emails from people in Alaska, I've got emails from people in Florida, I've got emails from people in Virginia, Boston, of course, and people say, I left my car at the airport for a week, I came back and the battery's dead. And the dealer just says, well, you know, you need to drive it more, or you must have left a light on, or you didn't close a hatch, or, you know, and there's always seems to be an excuse. The excuse is there's something wrong with the car.
Yeah. I mean, it's right there in front of you. You have to see this battery. This battery would fit in a big Harley Davidson.
Yeah.
5 inches wide. I mean, it's so narrow. You know, it's like a 5x8 battery.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt. And also with the, when the AAA... The contractor that came out, he knew right away, and he said, you know, Toyota did the same thing right around the same time, and they had a problem. He said, but what they did, it was a problem. So he said they recalled them, and I guess they put big. That's what he said.
Mm.
So they owed up to their problem, because I had every answer for the guy in Honda. I knew everything. I could talk to him every voltage, this, that, and I said, you know, it's baloney. It's all baloney. So. There goes my Honda Integrity.
Yeah, and it's a shame because it is such a good car. I mean, it's a car that it does a good job. It works well, but the idea that it's, you know, there's something going on. You know, they've even, you know, there's been different technical service bulletins that have come out, and you know, none of them have specifically addressed that. There's something wrong with the battery, but then again, you know, I will take another shot at Honda back, and it was probably 10, 11, something like that. Rear brakes were wearing out on Hondas real prematurely. You'd only get 12, 13, 14,000 miles out of a set of rear brakes. And,
wow.
And Honda said, well, you know, it's because of the pad composition, it's the way people drive. It's a brake setup that applies a lot of pressure to the rear brakes because they want to try to keep the car stable, and it just it just didn't work out. So they came out with a redesigned caliper, they came out with redesigned pads, and they bumped the brake wear to kind of an acceptable level of maybe 25 or 30,000 miles. But I mean, they were replacing brakes, you know, well under warranty, and
right.
You know, and you know, whatever the reason was, it just didn't work out. But it's funny. It's even, You know, there's a technical bulletin that came out and it with Honda, and it said, testing and replacement of Honda batteries, and they looked at a bunch of different things, and there's, you know, it says, one of the test devices, I guess, they say can't be used under warranty anymore, and they've had some diagnostic updates for warranty. I don't know. It makes me wonder if they're actually trying to fix the problem or they're trying to fix the test tool so it makes it sound like the battery's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all done for weight. There's no doubt about it.
You're absolutely right.
Whatever the weight was on it, save a few pounds here and there, But, and so there's a lot of furious people out there who bought Hondas, lots of them. I mean, it's really a lot on the web. And I'm talking people at one-year-old cars, and less. So they know the problems existed for a long time. So for the first time when you bring your car back under warranty, right away then they should have just said, let's put it in a bigger battery.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Simple cure, no difference in cost for them.
Yeah, really. And my only concern with that is you've kind of fixed the symptom, you haven't fixed the problem. I mean, it's sort of like, you have a big water tank with a leak in the bottom of it, and every day I have to go refill it. So what I'll do is I'll put more water in, and well, it's still leaking out at the bottom, but I got more coming in, so at least I never run out of water. Kind of the same thing by putting a bigger battery in. I've bumped up the reserve, so it's going to be okay. But why don't we figure out what's staying on and drawing more than what should? And that's kind of the problem. So, but I guess if you can go, you should be able to easily say, I have two cars. I'm going to go on vacation for 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm going to come back, and I expect the other car to start. And it should. I mean, you should absolutely be able to let a car sit a couple of weeks without any problems. And it's funny, the only other person I've talked to with a Honda said to me they had their car for a few days, and they let it sit for a few more days, and it didn't start. And then they noticed when they opened up the hood, it already looked like the car had been jump started because they could see marks on the battery cables where it looked like somebody attached cables to it. So this was a problem that happened on the lot. And it's not unusual for cars on dealer lots to have dead batteries, because sometimes they will sit for 3 or 4 weeks at a time. And, especially if it's just somebody coming over, opening up a door, leave the door open, dome lights on, the car's not running. You could see how a battery could go dead over time doing that. But the idea that just letting the car sit for a couple of days is just ridiculous to me.
Well, what I said to him, just cure him of that, I said, yeah, we went away, and 5 days later we came back. Honda's dead, but my GMC Terrain starts right up.
Yep.
The GMC Terrain sat there longer in dead cold weather and started up.
Yep.
The Honda failed. I mean, this has failed many times. It finally just hit the limit where I'm like, I'm done with, I'm going to cure it myself.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely, whether it's my 10-year-old Hyundai or my wife's 2-year-old Volkswagen, if either of those cars sat for, a week or two and didn't start, I'd be looking for something wrong, because that is not acceptable.
And the issue is, I think, isolated to the four-cylinder, because that's where they figured they could skimp out, because, you don't need as much cranking amps. And I've never liked the way this car cranked. To me, it always was just a mild crank from even with a good battery.
Yep.
With this battery in there, what a difference when I started. Yep. It was just like power, you know what I mean?
We're going to credit you with the cure.
Well, you do have another caller who has a 2013 he's talked about. I wonder if he's had any issues.
Yeah.
But anyways, gosh, I think I'll have to take your break.
All right. Okay.
Thanks,
John. Yep, bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk to us about your car problems. Why don't we take a break, pay some bills? We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
The more our family grew, the smaller our old car got. So we upgraded to a Honda Odyssey. It's from Kelley Blue Book's 2016 Best Value brand and comes with standard features like Bluetooth, so my wife can remind me of all the things I've forgotten to bring home. Ah, the diapers.
Go to www.hondacarsofboston.com or 100 Broadway, Route 99 in Everett, Mass. Call 617-276-1179.
Based on 2016 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit kbb.com for information. See dealer for financing details.
Calling all business owners. Are you running your business without being incorporated? If you answered yes, you are now eligible to incorporate in just 10 minutes. It's a quick incorporation event from Incorporate.com, designed to save small business owners from the risk of losing everything. Just call this number for your free 10-minute incorporation guide, 1-800-949-1065. If you're not incorporated, it's not just your business that can be sued. It's you, too, which means you could lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. That's why small business owners across the country are now scrambling to incorporate during this event. Call now for your free 10-minute incorporation guide while supplies last. 1-800-949-1065. Incorporate.com doesn't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating or forming an LLC quick and easy. But hurry and call now while they're still giving these 10-minute incorporation guides away for free. Call 1-800-949-1065. That's 1-800-949-1065.
Here's our general manager, Pat Ryan, presenting the Spotlight interview with Alyssa Morgan.
Alicia is going to be our keynote speaker on Thursday, June 22nd for our Woman in Ministry event. Ladies, you better get yourself signed up quickly because usually we end up saying, sorry, there's no more room. One of your subjects for our Woman in Ministry event is from your latest book, In the Beauty of Broken.
We understand that we're not the only people that are broken, that in fact, all of God's people are broken. God himself had a broken family, and he loves the broken, and he uses the broken, and we need not live under a shroud of shame any longer.
June 22nd, you're going to be our keynote speaker at Lombardo's. Ladies and gents, if you really feel like this is something for you, we might allow you to come as well. Sign up. Go on to our website, WEZERadio.com, WROLradio.com, and sign up.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Service celebrates this Red Sox season with a home run of a tire sale.
Hit a home run and save big on all Goodyear tires with instant rebates and mail-in rebates. Buy three Yokohama tires, get the fourth tire free. Buy one and get the second at 50% off. On a tight budget, Sullivan Tire has tires starting as low as $49.
We've knocked it out of the park with this sale. Come in today and get ready for those weekend road trips, and we will not be beat on price or service.
WROL Boston. You're listening to The Car Doctor.
You get hip to this kind of thing. Yeah, and go take that
California. And welcome back to The Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, The Spirit of Boston. Our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Two things I need to talk about. First, our trivia winner last week, Drew, your prize went out just this past couple days, and also the WeGo Jump Pack, fantastic little product. We picked a winner. It was Ed Vazella from Walpole. He won. I put it in the mail the other day. It should be arriving shortly. So congratulations to Ed on that. Sorry we couldn't give one to everyone, but, you know, that's the way it is, you know. So we only got one, and it's you'll like it. It's, and it comes in this little lunchbox looking thing. It's a neat looking unit with the ability to also charge charge your phone and your tablet, and it's got all kinds of neat little features. Kind of great in case of emergency, not just for your car, but also for if we have a power outage or something, you can keep your electronics charged up with it. It holds a charge for a long time. I charged it up when I got it. I only used it once. I checked it just before I put it in the mail, fully charged, ready to go. Just a great little unit. And, even to the point where, you're driving down the road and your alternator goes bad. And with a bad alternator, you're going to have your car essentially run out of electricity. If you had this, you could hook it up to the battery and it would act like another battery. even though that the original battery was dead, you might get another, you know, 5, 10, 15 miles to get at least back to someplace safe so you get the car fixed and fixed properly. So congratulations to Ed Vozella from Walpole for winning that. And I put all the entries together in a big box, and I had one of my coworkers pick it out. So I tried to be as fair as I could. So I didn't go by I didn't go by how long you've been listening, or you know, do you call in? I just kind of went as random as you can get. So I tried to do it as fair as possible. So we did the best we could. Again, the WEGO product, WEEGO, just a good product, and you know, check it out. Let's talk to Peter.
Peter,
yes, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, I couldn't help but comment after your first call about the 2013 Honda.
Yes.
Accord.
Any problems with yours?
Oh yeah, same thing. Battery. I had to replace the battery after about 25,000 miles. Went dead at Dairy Queen, and a young man helped me jump it, which I was really amazed, but that's another story. So I had to replace the battery, and then what your other caller may be looking forward to is the starter goes. The starter went at 37,000 miles, 1,000 out of the warranty, and I called Honda in California, and they gave me a Goodwill extension on my warranty, which meant I had to pay $200, and they covered $500 for a $700 starter.
Well, you're just full of good news.
Well, John, I don't have these problems with the Etzel.
No.
I think they that transition year from 12 to 13, I think they like your other caller was saying, were trying to cut the weight down, and it was untested, and they knew the starter problem. I didn't talk to them about the battery, but they did know about the starter problem. So they tried to cover that somewhat, but and the funny thing about it, my 94 Honda my father bought was great. No problem, just bulletproof, you know, maintenance, and that was it. So anyway, I can empathize with his story, and the funny thing about Honda, you know, they talk these prices like, you know, it's like going to the candy store. So anyway, I just wanted to sound off, too, because I'm not really a fan of the 2013 Honda Accord, that's for sure.
Well, it sounds like Honda has a few challenges with that. I like what Tom did as far as you know, he said, "Well, I'm going to just get a lot bigger battery," and I think that was really, really the answer, and that's what you need to do.
Yeah. And there's a YouTube video on that when all this stuff started happening to me.
Yep.
I did my research, and that's what this person did in his. He got the biggest battery he could fit into that space, and it seems to be a problem, but. The whole theory of letting a car sit for a few days and having a dead battery is insane.
No, that's just plain silly. I mean, it should be that you know, any and if you do the math, and this is the thing that doesn't make sense to me, you do what's considered normal parasitic drain. So what and even what Honda considers normal, you can look up and see what Honda considers normal, and the math works out that the battery should last about 3 weeks.
Right.
So there's something more going on than what Honda wants to admit to. There is a device that's coming on. There's something that's not shutting off. There is something else going on that is causing that issue. So
right. The one thing, John, that I did, and to your other caller, is I stopped using the automatic headlight system.
Yep.
I shut them right off the minute I stop, you know, at night. So and I don't know if that's helped, but the new battery hasn't died. So
Yeah. That shouldn't make any difference. I can't imagine why it would make any difference. I still swear there's a emissions pump coming on, the system that pressurizes the fuel tank for emissions testing. I swear there's something that's coming on, because that is a device that should cycle periodically, and I just wonder if it's continuing to run and doesn't shut off at some point. You know, no different than years ago, we used to see some cars that all of a sudden the electric cooling fans would just come on randomly for no reason, and it would run and then shut off, and sometimes it would run, the only time it would shut off is when the battery went dead.
Right, right.
Yeah, so,
exactly. Yeah, it's a shame, because Honda has such a reputation to pump this stuff out and then not try to take care of the customer.
Right.
I mean, I had to really... 2 months with Honda in California to get some kind of remediation on the starter.
It's goofy. So, well, you know, I don't have a good answer. You don't have a good answer. You know, Tom had a good answer as far as I'm just going to get the biggest battery I can cram in there and hope for the best. And I think that's the right answer for this right now. But I don't think that's the real answer. I think the real answer is there's something going on. There's some software thing that is going on. And, you know, I had one reader say to me, well, they were told by the dealer that if you're going to go away for more than a couple of days, disconnect the battery.
Okay.
Which is again a crazy option. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you would expect your Edsel to sit in the garage for 3 months and go over and turn the key and have it start.
It does.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Right. John, Fitchburg Airport show worked out great. We had 4 Edsels.
Good.
We had about 15 members. And we had a great time. It was a beautiful sunny day, and we had a good turnout. So I thank you again.
Sure, no problem at all.
All right, John.
All right, take care, Peter.
All
Bye-bye.
Right, take care, John. Bye-bye.
617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's talk to Jim. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, John. It sounds like a good day just to bring up a random subject, but I called you a while ago about my Buick that had been recalled for the headlight module going out.
Yep.
And I called NHTSA back again. And at the most recent call with them, they told me that, you know, they have my information. They have looked at it. And I asked them if they were going to get back to me and let me know anything. And they said, well, we mailed it. It goes on to this other department, which was 3 letters, I can't remember what it was now, in Washington. And I said, well, can I contact them to find out how it's going? And they said, sure. I said, well, what's their number? Well, they don't have a phone number. You have to send them a letter. And I sent them a letter, but you can imagine how that's going.
Yeah, that seems pretty covert. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, we're, you know, here's the people that can help you, but we won't tell you how to reach them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just passing it on. I've been trying to get this headlight module fixed for a long time. It's under recall, but because the car has a salvage title, they won't put the module in.
Right. And
so they're recalling it, but they won't let me get it fixed.
Yeah. And again, I guess I still don't fully understand that, you know, why that is the case, but I guess it is. I don't know. It just, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But
it's their policy.
Yeah.
But then, by the same token, they keep sending me letters to recall.
Yeah, and I guess because it does have that salvage, and I guess I can understand it's got a salvage title. They don't know why it had a salvage title. Was it, you know, was it underwater for, you know, 30 days, which is why, you know, they just have a generic answer for it all.
But they never asked.
Yeah, I know. They just
it was damaged.
Yep.
I have pictures of the damage when I bought it. Very simple. It was a front right collision.
Right.
Not a lot of damage. I've had it for 5 or 6 years. It's been great. You know, and all I want to get is my module. And I'm just stuck. And now to go to NHTSA, which, you know, I thought was the government that, you know, was helping me, and just get stuck behind, well, you have to send them a letter. It's like, okay, I get the drift, but...
Yeah.
And I just thought I'd give you a call, let you know if, well, things were working.
Well, it sounds like they're not.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But I am going over... I'm going to go to AAA and see if I get my license renewed today, so
well, you
hopefully
know,
that'll work out.
Well, you should be able to do that. Although I will say, it's always worth giving a call, because I got to tell you, the RMV system, there's a woman in our office, and I swear her only job is to let us know when the RMV systems go down in between Mass, Rhode Island and Rhode Island. I got to tell you, Rhode Island system seems to stay up pretty good. The Massachusetts system seems to go down as much as it goes up sometimes. It's like I see these things like Westwood, the system's down. Up, Westwood, the system's up. Rockland, the system's down. Rockland, the system's up. And it has to do with it's, and it's on, it's got nothing to do with us. It has to do with the, it's on their end. And I was just surprised it happens as much as it does. But generally it only goes down for a little bit. So you're usually in pretty good shape.
Well, I'll do anything rather than go into the Registry of Motor Vehicles.
As will most people.
Yeah. Hopefully that works out.
They're there from 9 to 1, so you should be in good shape.
Good deal, John.
Okay,
thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk to us about your car and your car problems. Let's talk to David.
Well, good morning, John.
Good
how
morning.
Are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. A couple of questions. This is a Honda. The fellow said that it was $700 for a starter motor.
You'd be surprised how much stuff.
They're crazy today. That's ridiculous.
Well, I will agree with you. They are crazy.
That is unbelievable. I mean, you got a little electric motor, for Christ's sake, for crying out loud. You know?
Yeah, it's amazing how much, you know, and I look at some stuff, and at least a starter I can kind of look at it and go, well, it is a little motor, it's a heavy duty motor. You can say, well, it costs what it costs, but when I hear something like a windshield wiper motor that's that kind of money, and I'm like, how can a windshield wiper motor be $500, $600, $700 and
because people don't know today. They are just so foolish. They don't know anything about anything.
Yeah, the actual retail price of the starter in a Honda is $481.57.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you throw an hour or so worth of labor in there to put it in,
right.
And you know, and labor rates at dealers now are $140. So there's your $700. You know?
Yeah. You can get some good mechanics for a lot less than that.
Oh yeah. And there are certainly alternatives. I mean, there are other aftermarket replacement, you know, and like all things, there's good replacement parts and there's some that are not so good. And,
you get that right. I understand that. Yeah. But you know, my old Pontiac there, the 455, now you can imagine what it needs for a starter motor on that engine. And you know, most it ever cost you was $125, $150.
Yeah,
you know,
it just gets
you. The other thing was, let's see, you had some other subject matter there. put a little meter. Have people that are having these problems with the electrical, you can prove it. It's got to be in the downtime.
In other words,
overnight. Put a little meter. Take off one of your connections and put a meter in between and see what she's drawing.
No, and the right way to do this, if I was kind of looking at what I would consider the right way to do this, and it would have to be somebody smarter than me, would be you would find somebody who could actually take a meter with software that could track and kind of track when it happens. So, you know, in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden you see a spike. Well,
yeah.
And you see that spike, and for how long the spike happens, that's going to tell you, hey, look, you know, there's a problem.
You think that there's an opening on these stupid electronic stuff that can open it without the ignition key on?
Yeah, and for instance, the one I keep going back to is the emissions pump. That's designed to come on periodically to pressurize the tank and look for leaks. So, you know, you look at that. And you know,
yeah, but that's usually when you drive in that car. Frank.
Some cars are designed to do it after the car shuts off.
Why the heck would they do that?
It must be 2 seconds
to pump. You know, yeah, like little Fords and everything.
No, some of them are designed to work. They work for like 20 minutes after the car shut off. So,
really,
yeah.
Well, I mean, this is the stuff today that you put up with, frankly. People are crazy to put up with these new cars. You know, it's one thing after another, you know?
Yeah.
And batteries I've always used. I can tell you the sizes of them, 65, 24. There's another one. They're all 1,000 cold cranking. No matter what car I've ever had, I don't care whether it was a Volvo or anything, it's, oh, put the biggest battery you ever could put into a car.
Yeah.
And I get batteries lasting 9-10 years if you keep them clean.
If you keep them clean and you don't cycle them up and down. So
that's,
you
know, right.
Yeah, that's right. That's the key to it all.
By the way, your AAA, great routine. I mean, I don't use it very often for the towing, but the whole methodology and everything else. I needed a towed here because I didn't know exactly what was wrong with the car at the time, and then from there over, and they consider it all in the same 100-mile routine or whatever. But just very good, very good people.
Well, glad to hear. Glad to hear. Okay.
Thanks. Thank you,
John.
Take
care. All right.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We need to take another break. You're listening on AM 950 WROL, The Spirit of Austin. We will be right back.
Get around, I get around, yeah. Get around, round, round, I get around.
The more our family grew, the smaller our old car got. So we upgraded to a Honda Odyssey. It's from Kelley Blue Book's 2016 Best Value brand and comes with standard features like Bluetooth, so my wife can remind me of all the things I've forgotten to bring home. Ah, the diapers.
Go to www.hondacarsofboston.com or 100 Broadway, Route 99 in Everett, Mass. Call 617-276-1179.
Based on 2016 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit kbb.com for information. See dealer for financing details.
1, 2, 3, 4. I'm from Boston, born and raised, and would never consider living anyplace else. About 4 years ago, my wife and I bought a house in our dream neighborhood. It was a little small, but thanks to the home improvement loan from the City of Boston Credit Union, we're now able to add on and stay right here in the place that we love.
For rates and terms, visit cityofbostoncu.com. NMLS number 403469. Equal opportunity lender.
Hi, this is GM Pat Ryan updating you on Pat's latest picks. Are you planning a wedding or some other special event? The Irish Cultural Center in Canton's tented patio is the perfect place. It overlooks amazing pristine grounds, seats up to 350 guests, and comes complete with a lighted deck. It's available from the end of April right through October. Regular rental for 4 hours, $2,500. You can purchase it from us for half price. That's $1,250. Or how about a dream vacation, an all-exclusive vacation package for two at the Wyndham All-Exclusive Resort. 3 days and two nights at a beautiful beachfront resort at your choice of Bahamas, Mexico, or the Dominican Republic. Regularly $1,500, you can purchase it for $749.50. Doesn't include airfare, but it is a great deal. Just go to WROLradio.com and click on the discount shopping and purchase it. Or call me direct, 617-691-2521.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Service celebrates this Red Sox season with a home run of a tire sale.
Hit a home run and save big on all Goodyear tires with instant rebates and mail-in rebates. Buy three Yokohama tires, get the fourth tire free. Buy one and get the second at 50% off. On a tight budget, Sullivan Tire has tires starting as low as $49.
We've knocked it out of the park with this sale. Come in today and get ready for those weekend road trips, and we will not be beat on price or service.
WROL Boston. You're listening to The Car Doctor.
Get out of my dreams. Get into my car.
Get into my car.
Get out of my dreams. Get in the backseat, baby. Get into my car. Get out of my mind. Get into my life.
WROL, The Spirit of Austin. Real quick, I want to talk about the car that got me here today. If you're on hold, stay right there. We will be with you in just a minute. The car that got me here today was a Chrysler 300. It's a 300S all-wheel drive powered by the 3.6-liter V6 engine. Yeah, somebody said to me, well, where's the
You know, where's the high performance version? Well, it's not this one. Eight speed automatic transmission, again, all wheel drive. You know, you don't see a lot of full size cars anymore, and this is a full size car. This is a car that is comfortable. The all wheel drive handles all weather conditions pretty well. In fact, the equivalent of this, the Dodge Charger, essentially same type of vehicle, won the New England Motor Press Best Affordable All-Wheel Drive Sedan. This one has keyless go, remote start, security system, comfortable front seats, something that is sometimes missing in a lot of cars. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago that I drove the Genesis, and then shortly after that, I drove, and I'll just call it another unnamed luxury car, and I actually found the seats in the Genesis more comfortable, and I find the seats in this Chrysler very comfortable. Now, I haven't had the displeasure, whatever the word is, to be stuck in traffic for 4 hours. But after a couple hours in the car, I was still pretty comfortable. Performance from the V6 is pretty good. A little more under hard acceleration, more show than go, I think, is a good way to describe it. Pretty looking car. They blacked out the grill. Nice looking wheels. Great sound system. The first thing, somebody was a young guy was in it. We actually used it for a little bit of filming the other day. Young guy was in it. He was like, "Oh, look, Beats sound system," which he was excited that there was a Beats sound system in it. I was less excited that there was a Beats sound system in it. Just because I think it's just a little too bassy for me, but that could be a function of my age as much as anything else. LED lights around the front, everything. It's a car that stands out. In fact, somebody asked me the other day, you're driving anything fancy? And I said, not really. And then I came back to that same office, and they said to me, "I thought you weren't driving anything fancy. What's that hot red car out?" And it is. It's an interesting. They call it Redline Red. It is red. Let me tell you, it is a red car. Has all the functions. You know, heated and cold seats. You know, it does have a spare tire, which is nice to see, because I like a spare tire. In fact, I talked to one of our members in New Jersey the other day that said AAA ought to go to the government and mandate spare tires in cars wherever possible. The idea of getting a kit rather than a spare tire, I think, is I understand why they did it. They did it to save weight, but having a flat tire and having no spare is not a great combination. In fact, my own car, I noticed the other day, the spare's not so good, and it's been sitting in the same spot for 10 years, and it just doesn't hold air the way it should anymore. So it's fully inflated now, but it needs to go to, and it's going to go to Sullivan Tire, because Sullivan Tire has the tools and equipment to really clean the wheels off, remove all the rust, reseal it, and put it back together so it's in the shape it should be in to not leak afterwards. So just a good idea. I also keep a little air compressor in my car just in case. But it's good to see cars with spare tires like this. Even a temporary spare is better than no spare whatsoever. And again, the other thing I liked about these seats, they're also ventilated seats. So I think in hot weather, it'll be a comfortable car, even though it's got a dark interior. So overall, the Chrysler 300S with all-wheel drive is a winner. How much did it cost? Well, you know, cars are getting expensive. There's no question. This one, total price as delivered, $42,455, but good, comfortable, full size, all the options in it that I would think you would want. And although red's not my color, it is a red car and it stands out, and a lot of people like the way it looks. Let's go over to Jack. Hello, Jack.
Hi, John Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My buddy's got one of those 300s. It's a beauty. It's a black one with like a teal interior.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I always thought, and I'm not a big window tint guy, but I always thought a black, one of these in black with sort of that new black chrome wheel and tint the windows out just a little bit, I bet that would make a pretty interesting looking car.
Well, I think you should do that, and your wife will say, "Okay, let's go out for dinner."
Well, she says that no matter what. whether I did that or not. So, but, you know, since it's not my car, it doesn't, you know, they probably frown on getting it back with the windows tinted, so.
Well, for all you snowbirds that are coming back from Florida, I had a great time in Daytona for the 500-week race. I rented a nice red Mustang V6, and that baby sure could fly.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you think of V6, but it's 300 horsepower. It's more horsepower than the original 5-liter Mustang was.
Yeah, it's more horsepower than the 1970 318 Dodge motors that had 140 horsepower.
Right. What did you think of the Daytona area? You know, I was talking to a guy in the travel department one day, and he said to me, he's a world traveler, and he said to me, face me to the ocean, I love it. Turn me around the other way, hated it. And I kind of like the Daytona area. It's with the car culture and the racing.
Daytona is great because it has a whole mixture of humanity, from the youngsters to the middle ages to the older people, and everyone loves it because all the tourists come down from all over the country, all over the world for the racing action and bringing their money and keeping their economy going.
Yeah, no, I know. I know somebody who has a place down in Flagler and somebody else in a place down in Ormond, and it's just a little bit away from it all, but you still get that whole experience. Did you drive down A1A at all after the hurricane?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, how's it looking down there?
They got lucky because if a storm had come on shore, then they would have got wiped out, but because it stayed out to sea, and the damage wasn't as bad.
Yeah, I guess it was a big chunk of it still missing that they're running traffic around. But I like that area down there. And, you know, even though people say to you, oh, it can get cold there in the wintertime, I still, there's something about that area I kind of like, so.
Well, the best thing about it is when you hop on a JetBlue flight and you're doing 600 miles an hour, and you say, geez, if I was driving my car, I'd still be down in Connecticut somewhere on the highway.
No, you're right. You're right. And if you were driving your car and you went to Daytona, and then you decided like half the world goes to Naples, you'd still got like another 3 hours worth of driving.
I've done it, and I tell you, when you're on that jet plane, it's like this is like cheating.
A little bit. So although somebody's got a little bit of a concern, I guess Jimmy Buffett's going to build a 55 and older retirement community down in Daytona. Did you hear that?
Yeah, God bless them. You know, whatever floats your boat down in Daytona, that's how it works. Everybody has their own little niche.
Yeah, exactly right. Hey, Jack, thanks for calling in.
Hey, one question.
Oh, sure.
Car repair. I got a 2000 Mercury Sable. 115,000 miles, original equipment, everything. I was driving it, and a baby stalled out on me. And I was going to call AAA. I waited like 15 minutes to start it back up. Started driving away, and 5 minutes later, it stalled out on me again. I waited 15 minutes, started back up. I drove about 3 miles, it stalled again. So I finally got it to the driveway, and I called up a mechanic. He said, well, I don't think it's the engine, but just disconnect the serpentine belt, and if it starts up and it sounds, you know, pretty quiet and everything, then it's not the engine. So I did that, and the engine sounded good. But then I started hearing squealing noises coming from, the alternator.
Uh-huh.
And I said to myself, well, geez, I wonder if the alternator, because it's 16 years old, 17 years old, started to seize, and that kind of made the whole engine just, you know, come to a stop.
Well, it very well could be, because if you're driving down the road and then, you know, you come to a stop and the alternator, if it is starting to seize up, and this happened, it was kind of a funny story talking about Florida. A guy I know was bringing his, I don't know, girlfriend's daughter down to Florida. He had an old pickup truck, and he got it down to Florida, and he was getting gas. Actually, he didn't make it to Florida. He was in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and he pulled into a gas station in Fayetteville, and he said it wouldn't start. So rather than call AAA, he called me, and he said, I don't know what happened. He said, "It's thing just won't start." And he's an old mechanic, and I said to him, well, does it sound like the engine seized up? He said, it's just a click. I said, well, can you get a wrench on it and see if you can, you know, turn the engine a little bit by hand. I said, just to see if there's something bound up in it. And he calls me back and he says, yeah, he said, the alternator seized up tight. And he said, it wouldn't even crank the engine. He said, bad enough that the engine wouldn't turn over. He said, it wouldn't even turn. He said, I thought the engine seized up. And he said, so I said, what happened? And he said, well, I ended up getting it towed. And I had it towed to some old timer's shop, and he said down some cornfield road somewhere. And he said, sure enough, the guy said, I got an alternator back here for it, and he replaced the alternator for him, got him back on the road. And originally they thought it was the AC pump, the AC compressor was seized up, and they were just going to try to find a short belt and put it on it and ignore it, but it ended up being the alternator, and sure enough, same kind of idea. So it very well could be. So
I think that's getting the other, because I was coming to a stop sign, and that's when it just croaked on me.
Yep.
So if I buy another alternator, so I just get a rebuilt one from an auto parts store or buy a brand new one?
At the age of the car, I would probably just get a rebuilt one and look for one that's got, you know, a lot of them now got lifetime warranties or 5-year warranties or something like that. Just go for one of those. And, you know, if you have, it depends on how they were rebuilt. Some of them, they're rebuilt. The only thing that's left is the aluminum case. Other times, you know, they just do the bearings and brushes. But, yeah. You know, it really all depends. The difference between new and used on those is probably 5 times the price. So I would go as cheap as you can get.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye, Jack. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's talk to Rick. Rick?
Hey there.
Hey there.
I don't know if a lot of people are having trouble parallel parking lately. And here's a trick that I use. I've been using for decades. I take my passenger side rear view mirror and tip it down so it's centered on the rear tire.
Yep.
And so I can see the curb, I can see the car, and then just use that as a guiding point, put me right alongside the curb instead of having to go in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, as you've seen people do.
Well, your method is better than what some people do, which is back up until the tire hits the curb and then jump over the curb, have it fall back down on the ground, ding up the wheel, dig up the tire. Your method works a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was funny. I was in Needham one day, and I was picking something up on whatever the main road is in Needham, and I found a parking space, and I don't claim to be the best driver in the world ever, but I backed into a parking space, parallel parked, backed into a parking space, and this woman's standing there, and she's staring at me, and I got out of the car, and I said, is everything okay? And she said, you did that so good, because I just backed in. I backed in and parked correctly. Here's how bad people parallel park. Cars now can, there's options where you can parallel park themselves. So,
yeah.
And people are buying them just for that reason.
Well, when I was learning back to drive in the mid-60s, my parents' driveway had a half of a home plate area that was paved over.
Mm-hmm.
And after going back and forth a few times, getting bored of that, I actually started, turning into there. And when I parallel parked for my road test, I had no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, no, it's when my wife and I first got married, we lived in an apartment, and the only place you could park is on the street. And this will tell you what kind of a terrible person I am. Her first car, one of her first cars, she had when we were married was a 65 Ford Falcon. It was probably 10 years old when we had it, and it didn't have power steering, and she was great at parallel parking. So only because she had to when she got good at it. So, yeah, a little bit of necessity is always a good thing, Rick.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hey, Rick, take care and have a great weekend.
Okay, have a good one, John. Bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Joe. And if you want to join us, 617-770-3030. We'll be right back.
Waving to the girls, peeling out of sight, spending all my money.
more our family grew, the smaller our old car got. So we upgraded to a Honda Odyssey. It's from Kelley Blue Book's 2016 Best Value brand and comes with standard features like Bluetooth, so my wife can remind me of all the things I've forgotten to bring home. Ah, the diapers.
Go to www.hondacarsofboston.com or 100 Broadway, Route 99 in Everett, Mass. Call 617-276-1179.
Based on 2016 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit kbb.com for information. See dealer for financing details.
You're much too busy to plan the trip of your dreams, so let Atlantic Travel Agency do it for you. They'll cater to your needs with a fun vacation package, a relaxing cruise, an excursion, and more. Atlantic will handle the flights, the hotel, and the car reservations, and chances are you'll pay less than if you booked the trip yourself. They'll take care of every detail, so you sit back and enjoy. Atlantic Travel Agency, with three locations to serve you better. Call 617-825-7010 or visit atlantic4travel.com.
Celebrating 50 years of Irish on WROL Irish 950.
Top of the morning, WROL, from Jimmy Tierney of Beverly, formerly of Melrose. Happy 50th anniversary. I'm 60 years old, and in 1967, when I was 10 years old, I remember the Impossible Dream Red Sox and listening to the Irish Hit Parade for the first time. I haven't stopped listening since and will continue to do so. It's music that's good for the soul. Thanks again for bringing it.
To share your memories and stories of what WROL Irish 950 has meant to you over the years, call us at 617-691-2534. Our phone lines are open 24/7, so call us anytime, 617-691-2534.
This is Michael Medved for townhall.com. Amid all the evaluations of the first 100 days of President Trump, what about considering the first 100 days of Democrats as the party of opposition? So far, they've shown a destructive tendency to repeat the same mistakes that cost them the election in November. First, they focus exclusively on attacking the president while counting on scandal to destroy their opponents. Second, Democrats continue to rely on identity politics, trying to rally minorities, women, and gays with a sense of victimhood while demonizing white males. But identity politics doesn't work. In November, Trump got slightly more votes than Romney among blacks and Latinos, while Clinton failed among her fellow white women, losing that group to Trump by 9 points. The practice of running strictly negative campaigns and dividing voters into warring demographic groups will lead Democrats to more defeats in the years ahead. I'm Michael Medved.
WROL Boston. You're listening to The Car Doctor.
Get out of my dreams.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. Our phone number again, 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. One other thing about trivia, we didn't do it today, but one other thing about trivia is if you won a trivia prize in the last couple weeks and you didn't get it, I don't know who you are, but I know your package got returned back to me with no label on it because apparently it fell off. So if in the last couple of weeks you won something, maybe last month, and you didn't get it, give us a call, drop me an email and say, hey, I won trivia and I never got a prize, and I'll just trust you that you're honest with me, and we'll get you out something else. But I got the envelope back, and I always put a little business card in it. Hey, thanks for listening. But this time I didn't put, hey, you know, Karen, thanks for listening. I just put, hey, thanks for listening. And signed it, and that's how our mailman, I guess, knew it was mine and brought it back, and it was all ripped open, and there was no label on it, and I'm like, I don't know. So if that's you, whoever you are, and the same thing too, another besides the column in the Boston Globe and the Providence Journal and the Quincy Sun, and I like the Quincy Sun. The Quincy Sun does a nice job. And the Quincy Sun, Bob puts my column in there every few weeks or so. Someone wrote to me who read my column in the Yankee Express, which is out in the Blackstone Valley area, and they sent me a message on Facebook, of all places, and Facebook deleted it. I'm going to say I didn't delete it, but Facebook deleted it. So if you're looking to contact me to ask me a question about something, my email is the best way. I'm not as quick to mistakenly delete things. jpaul@aaanortheast.com. You can go to my website, johnknowscars.net, and there's a way in there that you can email me, or you can go to AAA's website and the Ask the Expert page. You can find me there. Those emails come to my regular email, so you'll find me that way. Better than Twitter and Facebook that have their functions, but not so good for communicating that way. Let's talk to Joe. Joe.
Hey, Paul, how are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Still breathing.
Good.
Hey, I got a quick one for you. On that last talker you had about alternators.
Yes.
Reminds me of the problem back in the 70s when General Motors had problems with alternators with a parasitic drain problem.
Yep.
On the modules. Now, I wonder if anything like that's coming up with the other Honda.
Yeah, I mean, it could very well be that there is, you know, and that's one thing, you know, that was one of the things that I'm old enough to remember that, you know, you would get a car in, and back then we weren't all that sophisticated. You'd take a test light and pull off the negative cable and hook one end to one and, you know, stick the other end on the top of the battery, and you'd say, look at how bright this thing is. There's some kind of drain, and you disconnect the positive lead at the back of the alternator, and the light would go out, and you go, oh, it's the alternator causing the problem. So, and it was actually the regulator inside the alternator that would cause the battery to drain. So every once in a while, you'd run into that, or even the other thing you'd run into, you'd drive down the road, and the alternator light would be on, but it'd be on dim, and you'd shut the car off, and the alternator light would still be on, and it was the alternator. So it could be, but I think there's some, you know, one of the 9 computers that's in some of these cars that just is not shutting down the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, I had that happen with Ford Taurus.
Yeah,
about an 86.
Yeah,
all of a sudden the fan just kept going and could never figure out why.
And some of the other Fords had the fuel pump would just all of a sudden randomly come on, and it would run to the point where it would, you know, just it would run. And some of the other ones, my favorite was the Ford pickup trucks that had 2 fuel tanks. And what would happen is the fuel pump would kick on and the electric switching valve would kick on, and it would run the fuel from one tank to the other, and then it would kill the battery.
Oh.
So electronics are, it's like computers. They're good when they work, and when they don't, you want to take them and throw them out a window.
Yes. All right. Have a good day.
All right. You too, Joe. Thanks for the tip. 617-770-3030. Let's see if we can get in. It looks like David. No, Daniel. One of those.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, fine. The reason why I'm calling is I have a chance to buy a 2003 Audi. Now, there was an older man had this car, and it hasn't been ran for 5 years. He wants me to make an offer. I don't know how much to offer him. And I was wondering, after it's sitting there for 5 years, what would I have to do to get it gone? The exterior and the interior is perfect condition.
Well, and that's it. Do you have any idea how many miles are on it?
Maybe 35 or 40,000.
Okay, yeah. And, you know, with such low miles, I mean, that's a good start. But, you know, the concern is that it's been sitting for this long. You're going to, minimally, you're going to do all the fluids over. You're going to have, there's going to be a little bit of work that you're going to have to do to it. Do you have any idea what he's looking to get for it?
He didn't say. He just said, make me an offer, I don't know what it would be worth.
Yeah, and you say it hasn't really been run in 5 years?
No, it's just sitting there, but it's really a nice car. It's perfect. It looks real nice and everything. It's got a sunroof. It's got leather interior.
Yeah, I mean, to me, when a car sits like that, that's where, you know, that's where the problems start to happen, because sitting, you don't know what kind of shape the engine's going to be in. You're going to have to, you know, first off, you're going to have to get someone to really look the car over and see what kind of work is going to need to be done. You don't even know if it runs right now. So, Yeah, so I would, you know, I would start by, you know, if you have a mechanic that you're, you know, you're friends with, that you have, that regularly services your car, maybe they can, you know, maybe you can make some arrangements where you can, you know, you can tow it to, have it towed to his shop where they can look at it. What year did you say it was again?
2003.
And what model? Do you know what model Audi?
I forget, but it would be the top model in that year, whatever.
So it's a big Audi then. So it's like So it's the
A8. Big one. It's nice.
Yeah.
It looked nice, but like it was never driven by this older man. I guess his eyesight went on him, and he couldn't drive anymore or whatever.
Yeah. You know, if it is the Audi A8, you know, that's a real nice luxury car without any question. And, you know, but my concern is, you know, if you had one that was in good condition that, you know, you could drive every day that has nothing really wrong with it, it's a $9,000 car. But because you don't know anything about this car, you know, it could be a $3,000 car.
Yes.
So, you know, is the all-wheel drive system working? If it isn't, you know, if it's going to be a problem, that's a $6,000 repair. So you need to know more about this car before you can make an offer on it. Like I said, if you saw this car sitting in a dealer's lot in good condition, it is a car that you have that you could say could be worth up to $9,000. But without knowing anything about it, to me, it's worth closer to $3,000
or $4,000. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I really appreciate your help, and thanks very much.
I listen
to you every Saturday. You're very interesting, and thanks a lot again.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You have a great day. Bye-bye now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, there's Paul Sullivan right there, right sitting next to me, just hanging out, looking at his phone, watching the clock countdown.
Yeah, you know what I'm doing?
I don't know what.
That's the official U.S. Official time, and I want to see if my phone changes time right at the same time.
Boy, you got nothing to do, huh?
I had nothing to do. Let's see. It's coming up. Hold on.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. No. Yeah, I did it. Excellent.
Well, twice this week I was out talking to different groups. One was in Canton recently at a place called Orchard Cove. And earlier in the week I was someplace else.
Uh-huh.
And usually at the end of my little talk, I usually say, hey, and if you got nothing to do on Saturday morning, you know, turn the radio on WROL and tune into the Car Doctor program. And in both places, they both said right before the Irish Hit Parade.
All right.
So,
yeah,
that's where.
Did they mention the Paul and Paul segment of the show?
No, but they, sorry.
No.
Yeah. But they did say they like the Irish music. So.
That's excellent. Yeah, so, love that.
Yeah, so.
It gives me a raison d'etre. Reason to be.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. You knew that.
I knew that. Yeah.
You're not as I just figured out why these headphones don't work.
Because they're not plugged in. Yeah. Yeah, that could do it. Yeah.
So you're obviously as intelligent as I am.
Well, you know, and there's a reason that
God made Oklahoma.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, what time's your thing? What time's the world clock say?
Oh, it says by the way, when Nat King Cole starts playing, I won't hear it. My headphones don't. 9:59:23.
So it's time for us to go.
It must be.
I'm calling it a day.
I love how you've been sitting for the last couple hours because you're going to sit on a plane tomorrow and you're getting ready for that.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows what I could be doing? You never know.
There it is. Yeah.
That night needed to sit down because I couldn't see what I was doing anymore. So.
Well, you get to sit on the plane tomorrow.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Hey, until next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, be good to your car. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.
I wander today to the hills, Maggie, to watch the scene below. The creek and the creaking old mill, Maggie, as we used to long
long ago. The green grove is gone from the hills, Maggie, where first the daisies sprung. The creaking old mill is still Maggie since you and I were young.